you very much. Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, it's always a joy for me to be with you. I was here last year, and I'm so grateful for what the Lord is doing. And how many believe that God is in this place? Hallelujah. If God is here, that he's up to something. He doesn't come just come. Hallelujah. I bring you greetings from our nation, from our churches in Galilee. As you all of know that I live in Nazareth. Nothing good can come out of Nazareth. So Jesus was the first one. And I think I'm the second. Well, we praise the Lord that God is really increasing, and we see the churches are growing. My responsibility, we have 40 churches so far scattered or planted throughout Galilee. I have half of the churches I'm really responsible to oversee on a regular basis. We do have a leadership training on every month. We do 4 locations of leadership training. So my heart to see new generation of leaders rising up so we can keep the harvest. Many souls are coming to the kingdom. We are so grateful for what God is doing. You are jumping to the nations now. I'm talking about Israel, but this is not Israel. And we are seeing every year we do have many celebrations that we gather, like for example, Mother's Day, we gather almost 1,000 mothers to celebrate Mother's Day. So it's a whole day, worship and prayer and laying on of hands, and half of them, they come, they don't know the Lord. And guess what? Almost over 300 mothers every single year we lead to the Lord, which means we have almost 300 homes are open for the gospel. I'm so grateful that God is moving among mothers, women, and also among the young people. We're seeing that many of the young people are searching and looking for God for answers, and many are receiving Christ. My son just graduated from IHOPU, and he's now with us ministering in Israel, and he leads the house of prayer as well as the youth in Galilee. He's involved. Appreciate your prayers for him. He's just starting his ministry. I'm keeping a close look. So he keeps telling me, "Dad, I don't want to be like you. I want to be like myself." I said, "That's fine." Well, praise the Lord. My wife also, she's involved in ministry, in the house of prayer, in counseling and prayer and evangelism as well. And we're seeing, in spite of all the turmoil we experience constantly in Israel, but the power of God, the gospel is going forth. Many are coming to Christ. And that's our hope, that the nation will know the Lord Jesus. And the Jews and Arabs will know Christ as their personal Savior. And I have many stories, but I don't want to talk about a lot about stories. But let me tell you, from the last September until this September, the Lord gave me almost 20 leadership conferences around the world. And guess what? We covered almost over 6,000 pastors and Christian leaders in training in those 20 conferences. So you can see those, just picture, this is fresh ones, you know, just made. So in China, the Lord opened an awesome door in China, especially we're doing now leadership in Hong Kong, which the mainland Chinese leaders, they come to Hong Kong with no restrictions. So we can put 1,000 leaders together for a conference. And I tell you, I love Chinese conferences. Do you know why? Because I start to teach 9:30, 9:25, there is no empty seat. in the place. They're so hungry. So far, I've done 5 leadership conferences in Hong Kong, so that's easing for me in going inside and do the just a couple hundred every time. So as you see, India is also blooming. Thousands upon thousands are coming to Christ in India. In India now, I go twice a year. We do about 7, sometimes 8 conferences, as you see from the pictures. These are this last year conferences. And I tell you, every conference, we see the hand of God heals the heart of the pastors. We see pastors are renewed in vision. They are on the last edge of their, you know, in their ministry, but God pulls them up and renew them and send them back to their churches. So these are some of the pictures, so you have an idea to keep praying for me. So as we are already booked for the next year for these conferences in many places, next month I'll be in Nepal for our annual leadership conference. We do gather close to 300 pastors from the Himalayas mountains, where about over 1 million souls know the Lord Jesus in the Himalayas there. And they come for to gather, and we do a conference every year. And they keep sending me email, don't quit, we're booking everything, keep coming. Just in July, we had the conference, one major conference in Mumbai, India. God is opening new doors for me. People, pastors, telling pastors, and that's how things opens up for me. So we had a conference of over 1,400 leaders came to the conference in Mumbai. Then I flew to Africa for another conference, another 2 conferences actually. One on the border of Kenya and Uganda, where we gather almost over 400 Christian leaders, pastors and Christian leaders. This year, in July, this last July, I said to the pastor, anybody has a testimony if God touched you in this conference? I thought 3-4 pastors will rise and say their testimonies. I was stunned. Over 200 pastors stood up on their feet to say that God healed them or touched them in that conference. So sometimes God is doing things behind your back. I didn't pray for anybody. Well, that's good. That is really good. I love to pray for people and get healed, so we know we're connected there. But God says, you just do the teaching, I'll do the... do the... So these praise the Lord. So these pictures we had this last year. So please pray for me. I come to the States for 3 weeks. That's the only 3 weeks I come to raise finances for the next year of conferences. And we're doing things very simple. We don't complicate. We just tell them we're coming. And many conferences we really sponsor in food and all these things. So whatever you give, it will bless the nations. It will go there. So tonight, I think, sister, thank you. We are, I think, tonight, as scheduled, that tomorrow the rapture will take place. As all of you are. That's why I chose to speak about spiritual discernment. So we're going to talk about leadership and spiritual discernment. Well, we'll see what happened tomorrow. But in fact, we really are living in the last days. If you live in Israel, you need to get the hold of this subject, how to discern. Because there are tons of wrong teaching going on, tons of ideas, every floods of teaching is coming there. So if you don't know how to discern, you'll be lost there somewhere. So this teaching came out of like an urgent need. I don't know how to put this subject together, but I felt like I should prepare such a subject to teach myself. I'm not expert on it, but I'm trying to communicate with you what the Lord had been teaching me. So we're going to talk about leadership and spiritual discernment. How many believe that we need discernment more than ever these days? I mean, we thought of discernment just one of the supernatural gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, you know, discerning of spirits. I'm not going to talk about this one here. I'm going to talk about discernment as a lifestyle. Yes, it is a gift from God, but we're going to talk about how God can build in me spiritual discernment. So I can see, I can understand, and I can discern, I can distinguish between things. So yes, discernment is a gift, but also a lifestyle. And there is no formula I can give you, so you have a formula and you have a discernment. You know, I'll give you a prescription tonight. You go to pharmacy, I will have discernment. That's not my teaching here. So we're talking about the lifestyle. Now there are levels in discernment. Not just one level. There are levels in discernment. I hope I can touch on that. You know, when God sent the prophet Samuel to anoint one of the Jesse's sons, to anoint him as king over Israel. So Jesse, he had seven boys, good ones, good-looking ones. But David was not included because he came by mistake. Jesse wants seven boys. No, he doesn't want eight. So David was not included there. So the prophet came to the right place, to the right city, to the right place. But what happened? He looked at the sons and he said, I'm sure one of them will be king of Israel. And we know the story. He came to anoint the first elder son. And he was about to pour the oil over his head to declare him as a king. And God stopped him. Do you know how many times he made this mistake? Seven times. How many have been fooled by your eyes? Or just us in Israel? If a great prophet was deceived by the outlook appearances, and God said to him, you look at the outside, but I look at the heart. So tonight, it's discernment is not just for the pastor or those guys that they speak in tongues and dance. Discernment for every believer. It's your responsibility to discern. So that's where we're going there. So many times we tell the Lord, just write it in the sky very clear. What do you want me to do? Give me a loud microphone so I can discern. Write this down. The greatest opportunity, the golden opportunity of your life comes from God as a hint in your heart. Just a hint. It's just a hint. Every nation we went to there, we thought it was just a hint. God gave us that sense, and we responded to that discernment, and God opened the greatest door. So we don't want to be children, babies. Oh, Lord, I just need you to to speak to me so with big letters, with big letters. So God is gonna first is gonna bring freedom to our hearts. He's gonna heal our hearts. He's gonna bring freedom to our hearts, because a free heart can discern. A mature heart can discern. So, and we struggle with having poor judgment. How many have struggled with poor judgment? Don't raise your hand. I know you're not going to raise your hand. We struggle with poor judgment. We're either too soft or too rigid, too hard or too lenient. We struggle with issue of discernment between bad and good. We struggle with timing. Is this the right time? We struggle with the which counsel I should get, what kind of a counsel I should get. I discovered that discernment can save you, can rescue you. And the cost of lack of discernment is great. It is really great. So many casualties in the spirit, in churches today, because of lack of discernment. There's so many believers are paralyzed, disjoint from the body of Christ, because of lack of discernment. I know many churches split, destroyed. I mean, they're no longer there because of lack of discernment. We thrive to have the revival. Lord, send revival. You know, we need revival. We need. God says, I will send you a revival. It's going to mess you up. I mean, God is going to move powerfully. But revival always is kept moving if we do have discernment. If we don't have discernment, we lose the revival. And the revival can work against us, not for us. Now, we need to distinguish what's right, what's wrong, what's minor, what's major. What's primary, what's secondary? We need to discern what is good, what is better. We need to discern these important and less important. What is the permanent, what is the temporary? All these things, we need to come to that place of discernment. Now, tonight, I'm not going to go through these notes tonight, so I want to make sure you come tomorrow morning. Tomorrow we're going to talk about, so don't look at your notes now. Look at me and let me talk. I want to talk about definitions, facts, and introducing the subject, so tonight you will not sleep. You will pray all night. Facts, definitions. So what is discernment? Discernment is the ability to see the truth. The ability to see or to grasp, to comprehend what is unclear, what is hidden. The ability to really, the ability to see what is not clear to the average person. That's discernment. The ability to tell the difference between truth and error. The ability to think biblically about all areas of our lives. What is discernment? Discernment, the ability to examine everything carefully. We're going to talk about discernment is the ability to decide between what is right, what's wrong. In another word, having a practical wisdom from the Lord. How many here desires to have inner compass in your heart? Inner compass. We're going to talk about this discernment is finding what is of the Holy Spirit and what is not. It's the process of making careful distinctions in our thinking about the truth. What I'm trying to finish this teaching tomorrow is so for God to sharpen your spiritual senses. It's sharpening your discernment. What I mean that God is going to build in you a GPS, spiritual GPS, which means which means spiritual awareness. You are aware of what's going on. That's spiritual knowing. So when we talk about spiritual discernment, we're talking about something we have to develop, something we have to allow the Lord to establish in our hearts. Now, there are so many verses in the Bible speaks about discernment. I gave you many, many references there. But Psalm 119:66, it says, teach me, Lord, good judgment. Teach me, Lord, knowledge and good judgment. The Bible says that my people perish because of lack of knowledge, but in actual word, lack of discernment. There's another verse we all know, John 7:24. Do not judge according to the appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, it says, but examine everything carefully, hold fast to which is good. I can roll so many verses after verses where it teaches us how to discern, the ability to weigh up, assess in the light of God's Word and the Holy Spirit. We need discernment because we need to be protected from spiritual deception. We need discernment so you become so effective in ministry. Discernment is like one of the main tools to reach out, to touch hearts, to know the root causes of this problem. You know the root causes of these issues. So it becomes a tool, an effective tool. You can discern the need of the people, how to reach out. You can discern. It's the key to live a free life. The most encouraging things that causes you to will motivate you to grow up in the Lord is discernment. If you have discernment, you really hunger all the time to grow in the Lord, to move further. Now, we stumble so much in discernment. This is something known, something ordinary, something we do stumble a lot with the issue of discernment. But we need to see that when God wants to really develop in us discernment, this discernment is actually centered on the person of Christ. This discernment is centered on the Word of God. This discernment is centered on the love of God. So when we talk about discernment, not just ideas and knowledge there, here and there, but all the discernment is coming out from the person of Christ. That's why in the Bible we know this verse. We all know 1 John. It says, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. John is telling us how to discern, how to be able to discern, and he's giving us three guidelines there when he talked about discernment. First of all, any spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is from God. What does this mean? It means that all discernment is centered on the work and the person of Christ. We can agree with all religions on the person of God. We can sit on a platform, all religions, and say we can communicate with the Creator God. But when you bring Jesus into the picture, all hell broke loose. Why? Because the devil he's not irritated when you talk about God. But he is furious if you bring Jesus to the scene. So all the spiritual warfare in the world today is centered on the person and the work of Jesus. I'm communicating. So he is the one that all knowledge, all wisdom, everything comes out of him. So John is telling us, test every spirit. How can we know this teaching comes from God? First, is it centered on Jesus and his redemptive work? So many people, they say, there are so many spirits are in the world. In fact, many pastors believe that. There are only two spirits that works in the world. Either the Holy Spirit or the demon spirit. There is no third spirit or fourth spirit or any fourth supernatural power that are at work here. Only either the Holy Spirit or the devil. Now, the devil can make himself as an angel of light. You know, he will always hide his personality. He wants you to be deceived. Now, Jesus said, I will send you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will testify to me. The Holy Spirit will glorify me. So any supernatural happening event that takes place has to center on Christ, to testify to Christ, to testify, to glorify the Son of the living God. How many here have been worked in a bank? Anybody? Nobody? How are we going to raise money for the nations? When you work in a bank, they will teach you how to discern between the fake $100 bill and the new one, the genuine one. You have to do it. They will put you into test by touching, by looking. You know, for you and I, we don't know the difference, because the fake looks exactly like the genuine. But for the bank employee there, he knows exactly. When he looks at it, he touches it, he knows this is not authentic one. That's where I'm taking you tomorrow with me. To know the authentic thing, not just trying to examine, but when you look, when you touch, when you sense, this is not of God. This is not genuine. And that's the work of the devil today. He's hiding behind. He's giving you something. It looks genuine, but it's not genuine. Looks fake. And we all experienced the recent election. I'm not going to talk politics now. Let's move forward. Okay, now. Now, in Ezekiel 44:23 says, God addressed the priest, the teachers, teach my people how to discern. Teach my people how to distinguish between holy and unholy, between clean and unclean. So it's our responsibility to teach our generation, next generation, discernment. Now, in James chapter 3, verse 17, what it says? It says, the wisdom that comes from God, the discernment that comes from God. So the nature of the discernment, write this down. The nature of the discernment, what is the nature of the discernment? First of all, is pure. What is the nature of discernment? It's peaceful. It's gentle. It's willing to yield. It says full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality and without hypocrisy. This is the nature of discernment. When we discern, this is the guideline for us. I'm praying that God will give you spiritual eyes and spiritual ears, so we can discern exactly what the Lord wants us to do. Now, discernment is a grace from the Lord, is a gift from the Lord. But what happened is we allow, because of lack of discernment, we allow mixture to come to our lives. We allow mixture to come to our homes. We allow mixture even to come to our churches. Now, the devil works because you lack discernment. He's taken advantage of you. And he is controlling you and he's deceiving you because you don't know how to discern. Now, so many people, they come, they're feeling guilty. There are three sources of guilt. Holy Spirit, or you do have a spirit of condemnation. That's fine. Hallelujah. So your life is a battlefield for the enemy to keep fighting you because you don't discern. You lack discernment. You're conquered by the devil with lies, with ungodly belief, with fears, and you have been tormented by the devil because of lack of discernment. You don't know your position, your authority, your place in the Lord, and the devil is after you. Now, the Bible says in Isaiah 5, it says, woe to those that they don't know how to discern. I believe today that God is going to lift from us many spiritual blindness. If I would ask you tonight, how many here can see himself 360 degrees? You do have blind spots. I have a whole teaching on leadership and blind spots. I'm not going to go in there. Blind spots. I'm glad for my wife. She sees one side, another side. But we all have blind spots. Now, when we look at the book of Job, there were four friends there. And everybody has his own discernment. They spoke the truth, but wrong interpretation. They did not speak correctly of Job, and God got angry at them. Though they describe clearly. I mean, when you read those friends, the writing, you know, what they said is true, but does not fit Job. So those friends, they try to explain the problem of Job. And everybody has his own deep discernment somewhere. Job, you're a secret sinner. Job, you didn't do good to those who were in need. You. And even Job, he didn't have discernment to explain what happened. And the whole book is a warfare of issue of discernment. There was the fourth friend there. Everybody gave up on him. But the fourth friend said to him, Job, listen. You have blind spots. Why don't you pray and say, Lord, open my eyes to see what I am not seeing. Just pray, Job, this prayer. Lord, open my eyes to discern why I'm unable to see what, when he prayed this prayer, what happened? God entered into the scene to reveal everything. Now, from that situation, we understand that God wants to really give us ability to see in the spirit, to view our life, to evaluate. So lack of discernment always will cause us to be weak spiritually. And it will cause believers depending on others. Like, I always depend on my wife. You discern. I'll pray. You discern and I pray. I depend on her. So she, you know what she said to me? You are the pastor. You need to discern. You need to get hold of the Lord and know what. So we become so dependent on others to discern for us. That's why we run after personal prophecies. I want a personal prophecy. Why are you looking for the personal prophecy? Because you need some ability to see. Some ability to understand. So you look for, I love personal prophecy. It's easy way and put me to sleep the whole night. Personal prophecies are good. But how we can discern personal prophecies? That's another problem. I'll tell you how to discern. Anybody knows how to discern? How do you need to know how to discern personal prophecies when somebody comes to you? The general or the good way to discern personal prophecies, for you to get first the original copy from the Lord. If God wants to speak to you, he doesn't go there and, can you tell him what I want from him? God comes to you. And you should own the original copy from the Holy Spirit. What happened? Somebody comes to you and God makes Xerox copy in other people's hearts about what he gave you. So if God said, Andrew, I want you to go to Japan. So I came to the meeting tonight, and after the meeting, 2 or 3 of you came to me and said, Andrew, we feel like the Holy Spirit is telling us God wants you to go to Japan. So what happened, that Xerox copy is really confirmed, the original that I have. And sometimes God says, I want you, you know, by personal prophecy, he comes and says, I feel God wants you to go to Japan in November. So what God is really extended in the understanding, I'm praying about the timing, and God really it brings to me. So to discern a personal prophecy, first you need to get hold of the original copy. And that's how we can discern. We can have that spiritual discernment. Now, Jesus came to the disciples and says, Be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of the Sadducees. What is this? What is this leaven? discern. He's telling his disciples to discern the religious spirit in the Pharisees, to discern the political spirit in the Sadducees. That's the spirit there. Be aware of those things. So let me tell you some of the things that you have to discern. Really, you have to discern. First of all, you need to discern religious spirits. I'm glad I'm not following the Lord because I'm religious. Because religious is man-made religion. I'm following the Lord because I have a personal relationship with Him. Secondly, we need to discern political spirit. And that is killing the church today. Those two things. Thirdly, we need to discern controlling spirit. Oh, you don't have this. We have it only in Israel. Controlling spirit. Spirit of manipulation. That's not of the Holy Spirit. You can be guided by controlling spirit, by manipulative spirit through others. We need to discern human ambition. A guy came to me and said, "Pastor, I'm praying God will give me money. I want to build a retreat center in Israel." Well, I smelled something. This is human ambition there. And it never came to pass. Why he wants to do that? Because he wants, there's something driving him. He wants to do something spectacular in Israel. And we have thousands like that. We need to discern spirit of greed. Spirit of greed. That's where love of money, root of all evil. We need to discern spirit of lust. I go to many hotels traveling. I enter a room. Just my radar picks up lustful spirit in the room. So what should I do? I'll sleep in the street? No. The devil will sleep there. I'll sleep. What happened? You need to take authority immediately. Cast those devils out. You enter a place, you sense there's fear there. Fear is controlling everybody. I mean, there's chaos. There's spirit of chaos. There's spirit of people are confused there. Confusion. So once you sense that, you have authority over it. Are you catching now? Now, discernment increases your authority. You discern these things. What about exaggeration? Oh, that's a spirit. We love to blow up things. I had to repent so many times. Because I like to speak and make things so big. And the Holy Spirit convicted me, said, "Andrew, you exaggerate a little bit." How many here exaggerated before? Or you're good people, I know. You're just good people. Oh my goodness. What about being driven by the gift, not by anointing? Spirit of professionalism rather than spirit of excellence. The problem is we can build a church, we can preach, we can have a biggest band, worship team, it's all performance. Who can discern? who can discern. Discerning relationships. Discerning of times and seasons.